Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Britain feels broken, but how do we fix it?
Westminster just doesn't seem to have the answers, but we have found some people who do.
Join me, journalist Becca Hudson.
And me, the former MP Ed Vasey, for How I'd Fix.
From the price of a pint to the housing crisis, this is the show where we take an alternative look at the problems plaguing the nation.
And hear practical solutions from those in the know. Catch new episodes of How I'd Fix wherever you get your podcasts. Rebuilding Britain starts here.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast.
Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer.
Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Julia Hartley Brewer and you are with Talk TV. Now, the government's flagship Rwanda bill has suffered a series of defeats in the House of Lords that could see deportation flights delayed until June. I feel like I'm going to be saying that sentence or an equivalent sentence for the rest of my life. Joining me right now is Conservative MP for Crawley. That's Henry Smith. Good morning to you, Henry.
Good morning, Julia.
Thank you so much for joining us. Just your reaction to this. Seven defeats now. It was 10 amendments from the Lords previously. MPs voted to overturn those. The ping pong went. Again, I'm never quite sure whether we're on a ping or a pong at any particular time. Gone back to the House of Lords. They've done another seven amendments, so another seven defeats for the government. Now it comes back again. Now we're told it's going to have to wait until after Easter. Do you have any confidence at all that these flights are ever going to take off?
They have to take off. There has to be a deterrent and a clear message sent to the criminal gang, people smugglers, that if you come to this country illegally, you could be deported to Rwanda. And the efforts of parties like Labour and the Democrats and others in the House of Lords and indeed in the House of Commons to try and stop these flights going to Rwanda is obviously continuing. I think I first raised the issue of small boats 4 years ago. I had a memory on my phone come up. And here we are 4 years down the line. Yesterday, I think we have 450, the highest number.
Oh, Henry, I'm so sorry. You've got a very bad line there. I don't know if we can if you just said that last bit again, because it was cutting out a bit.
We have to get the Rwanda flights off to Bites or Bleach and shenanigans in Parliament.
Right, I'm so sorry. Henry, I'm so sorry. I don't know whether you've got a mic on your lapel or you've got it. If you could perhaps move closer to the computer, we'll hopefully be able to hear you a bit better. Or, something's not working. The joys of Zoom and text. While we're asking our audience today, do you have any faith in the Rwanda deportation policy? Because some people say, OK, the flights will take off, whether it's May or June or July, doesn't really make a difference. It's still going to be a handful of people, best case scenario, a couple of hundred people. More than that come over on the average Sunday in good weather, in which case this isn't the solution to any of the problems we've got with these channel boats anyway, is it?
Well, I think the Rwanda plan is part of the solution, but it's only part of a much wider package. Personally, what I would do is I would have us leave the European Convention on Human Rights and have our own British Bill of Rights. We've been doing human rights in this country for hundreds of years. And the idea that people can claim rights by entering this country illegally is wrong, and we need to leave those conventions that allow that to happen. But Rwanda is an important part of a broader mix, and that's why it's important, I think, that those flights take off.
I think it's important, I think, in principle, isn't it, that an elected government and an elected chamber of the House of Commons should... We know there has precedence. We know the Lords will give up, whether it's this time or next time, on those amendments. But the fact that there is even this sort of ping-pong going on when there is, for a lot of people, an urgency on this, this is playing politics, isn't it, from the peers and, you know, some on the left wing of the Conservative Party, Labour and Lib Dems and crossbenchers, virtue signalling how good they are because they're welcoming, you know, all migrants and aren't they lovely, lovely people. people. But actually, you know, this is a policy that really matters to a lot of Tory voters.
It's a policy that matters to a lot of voters, full stop, regardless of what political party they normally support. This is something that is costing the British taxpayer billions of pounds. This is something that is putting pressure on public services, on housing. And it's just manifestly unfair that you can enter a country if you've been facilitated to do so by a criminal gang. That is wrong. A sovereign nation, if it can't control its borders, is no longer a sovereign nation. And there are far too many people on the left in the establishment in this country who feel that mass migration is something, as you say, that they, I don't know whether it's virtue signaling or they believe that it's important that we swell our population to 80 million. I don't know what the motivation is, but I think they're very misguided. And I think it will be something that this country will live to regret if we don't address it, and we need to address it without any further delay.
Yeah, and it does seem certainly this is an issue in America with the Mexican border, and it's a massive big issue across Europe as well. Can I ask you about something else? In the last sort of 20 minutes or so, we have had a report from the Parliamentary and Health Service Ombudsman. They've been looking at the potential injustices of the pension the state pension age for women when that was raised, not just from 60 to 65, but also then on to 66. Millions of women obviously affected, you didn't get their pension at an age they would previously be entitled to, because that, by definition, what happens when you raise the pension age. One would argue, I would say, that it was men who were suffering the injustice for many years, having to work 5 years longer than women. However, there were certainly hundreds of thousands of women who were particularly hit 6 years later on their state pension age. They said they weren't informed in good time. They said, yes, OK, there had been a budget announcement, it was in the papers, but many years in advance. And actually, when they were planning for their retirement, planning out on their income, especially those on low incomes as carers and the like, they really didn't get the forewarning they should have had from the Department for Work and Pensions. This Ombudsman report says that women weren't informed soon enough, that the government was at fault, and they say that women affected by this change are owed compensation. Now, we could be looking at something like £10,000 per woman in compensation. But given that we are looking at millions of women, we are talking about multi billions of pounds of taxpayers' money being given in compensation. Would you support that?
Well, I haven't had a chance to read the Ombudsman report myself, so I will refrain at this moment from commenting on any of the detail. But again, you know, this was a judgment that was handed down by the European.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In Union, they said that the pension age has to be changed for women, so that there was an equality of ages. So again, this is, you know, a supranational body that was telling us how to run our domestic affairs. And there's a pattern here, isn't there? We will see, obviously, whether there is compensation that is paid. But I think this is an important report. And certainly this has been an issue that has been a feature of politics for quite some years now. Indeed, I think it was one of the issues that was very prevalent at the last general election. So it's certainly been around a while.
Yeah, indeed. But again, I've always been in the view that it's men who lost out for decades rather than women. There are always going to be losers when you change the pension age at any point. There's always going to be the people who would have retired who then don't get to retire. That's what happens. That's, of course, what meant that government after government kicked this issue into the long grass and didn't raise the pension age when it was necessary to do so to keep the public finances in order. Can I ask you just about one final issue? I'm sorry, this is the sort of thing that we shouldn't have to waste our time talking about, but I'm sorry, it does bother people, especially, you know, England fans looking ahead to the European Championship starting in June. Nike have issued in the last couple of days their new kit for the England men players, and they've described this as a playful update to the St. George's Cross. It appears on the back of the collar to unite and inspire. Instead of a simple red cross on a white background, or just a red cross, which is what the St George's Cross is. Their playful update, which unites and inspires us, apparently, Henry Smith, is to have it sort of red vertically, but the longer horizontal bit of the flag is sort of a pink and sort of pale blue, and looks like either navy or purple. I can't imagine there's any other flag that Nike would alter, and it would be absolutely fine. This is clearly a sort of a vague sort of pridey type look for the flag. What do you, as an MP representing, you know, English constituency, feel about this?
Well, that isn't the cross of St George. That isn't the flag of England. The flag of England has existed for many centuries. It's one of the oldest flags anywhere in existence in the world. And that is not the symbol of England. So I don't know what that logo is. But again, you know, it's typical. It's people feeling that if something is English, if something has a British heritage, then it can be disrespected. And
yeah. Well, it's probably racist, isn't it? The flag of St George is probably racist. I mean, a load of racist sort of appropriation of flag. We've been trying to bring it back for the rest of the nation. No one should ever be ashamed of their country's flag. But also, the whole point of flags is they are this imagery that is long-lasting. You don't change flags. You might change the bit of the kit, but you don't change the flag, because the flag is the identity. That is what unites us. That is what inspires us.
You're absolutely right, Julia. It seems that it's fine for people to fly Palestinian flags in central London. It's fine for people to fly all sorts of other sort of multitude of colour flags around. But somehow, if you are flying the flag of England or flying the Union Jack, that somehow that is racist. I'm very proud of this country. This country brought democracy to much of the world, has been promoting liberty for centuries, and I think that's something to be proud of, and I certainly fly the flag with pride, and I think our football team should as well, and I think it's disgraceful that companies like Nike have really completely changed our national symbol. It certainly won't change.
But they've done it with permission from the Football Association. It is disgraceful. Thank you so much, Henry Smith. There, you've heard it, Nike. It's disgraceful. Henry Smith, MP. Thank you for that. Philip Ingram still with us in the studio. Now, look, you've been involved in the military. You know, the flag is, you know, people, the country, the you know, the monarch, the flag. People feel very strongly about flags. You know, that's why, you know, burning flags is such an insult to people. I just don't understand the number of people who this would have gone through, the number of people who've signed this off.
The Football Association have signed this off. Those in charge of the England team have signed this off. You know, Nike only respond to the brief that they get, and the brief they're allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
You know, the flag is a rallying point in battle.
But this is the funny thing. People say, oh, why are you getting upset about a flag? And it's like, oh, you know, and yet there'll be the same people, by the way, who constantly fly that blue flag with the yellow stars on. I can never remember what it signifies. But anyway, today we are asking about the government's flagship Rwanda bill. It's suffered yet more defeats in the House of Lords. Do you have any faith in the Rwanda deportation policy? That's the question I'm asking. Give us a call, 0344-499-1000. Text 87222 or get in touch on X at Talk TV. Daniel says, if the government were serious about stopping the boats, they would have stopped them by now. Rwanda's just a distraction. Rob says, absolutely none whatsoever. And Roger says, smoke and mirrors. Look at this and then don't look at how many visas are being issued from around the world. Exactly. That's in their control. So they want it like this. It's a fair point. You've also been getting in touch on the phones. Let's go to Bob in Tyneside. Hello, Bob.
Hi there.
Hello. What do you want to say about this, then?
I just wanted to ring because I fully agree with this Rwanda policy. I sort of think the only country that sort of managed to stop migrants in the tracks is Australia. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, they were coming in there from Indonesia. And it would have changed the whole culture of Australia. And most of the migrants that were coming in weren't refugees in the proper sense, or economic migrants who were out there to raise...
But the key thing, Bob, that policy, the policy worked because you never set foot on Australian territory. You were in the sea, you were taken, and you were taken straight away to an island where you were processed. You were told you're never going to set foot. These people are literally on the beaches at Dover.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that I should imagine that's right. Australia's policy was to put them in camps on a couple of islands in the north, and the people didn't get onto Australia.
But we're not doing that. So do you think Rwanda's ever going to work? A couple of years after you arrive here, you might have your tiny chance of getting sent to Rwanda?
Look, I mean, I don't know. It depends on how the government runs the policy. All I can say, if you're an economic migrant and you want to be in a rich country and get higher wages and get more economic benefits, and you're stopped at the sort of shore when your boat gets there and you're sent off to an island camp where the refugees are sorted out, whether they're real refugees or whether they're just economic migrants, then...
That might be a deterrent. If we did that, that might actually work. Bob, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast. Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.